them an act with lots of flash in it. Made them believe you were compassionate. Gave them the old hocus pocus. You misdirected them with 9/11 and Saddam Hussein. You played them both right to perfection, despite the fact there's no connection. You razzle-dazzled them, let those blue states complain.
If this were a dictatorship, it'd be a heck of a lot easier. Just so long as I'm the dictator.
You gave them the old, stay the course, I'm your man.
Greetings, this is podcast number 17 of Blast the Right. I'm Jack Clark from therationalradical.com, www.therationalradical.com. Today's podcast will be a bit shorter than the previous couple. I'm going to use the time I save to finalize my setup for recording telephone calls. Then we can get into the really fun stuff, listener phone calls, interviews, and, hopefully, knock-down, drag-out debates with, foaming at the mouth, right-wingers. Is there any other type of right-winger? As usual, I'll be giving music credits at the end of the podcast. Speaking of music, the opening little excerpt I played said that Bush razzle-dazzled him, hocus-pocused him. Fraud is more the accurate term. Our first segment will speak about the 2005 Republican election fraud in Ohio and how it bodes ill for the 2006 and 2008 elections unless we do something about it. The second segment will feature some audio clips of our favorite, Bill O'Reilly. Here, he'll be blaming the Iraq war on Jacques Chirac. Yes, you heard right, Jacques Chirac. Okay, let's get right into the first segment. There's more Republican electronic voting machine fraud to get outraged about. Before we get into the latest Republican deception, a little background. I went into this in detail in podcast number 13 in a segment entitled GOP Electronic Voting Fraud 101. If you want all the details, go back and listen to that one. Right now, I'll set forth the four main pillars upon which the case for GOP electronic voting machine fraud rests. First, 1996 Nebraska. Chuck Hagel runs a voting machine company. His company sells voting machines to the state of Nebraska. Chuck Hagel runs for Senate from Nebraska. Most of the votes are counted on machines that Chuck Hagel's company sold to the state of Nebraska. Chuck Hagel wins a stunning upset. No one thought he could possibly win. Could it have been the Republican-manufactured machines with the secret software? Pillar number two. Georgia, 2002. Democratic Senator Max Cleland is a triple amputee Vietnam veteran and extremely popular. All the polls show him winning handily over his challenger, Saxby Chambliss. Then when the votes are counted, Saxby Chambliss has won by a large margin. Every vote in Georgia was cast on a Diebold electronic voting machine. Could it have been the Republican-manufactured voting machines with the secret software? Pillar number three. Presidential election, 2004. Exit polls show John Kerry easily winning over George Bush. But then when the votes are tabulated, George Bush has won. Election experts agree there cannot be such a disparity between the exit polls and the voting results. Exit polls are always accurate. In fact, they're used to gauge the honesty of elections in third world countries. There are only two possible explanations for this disparity between the exit polls and the voting results. Either the voting results were fixed somehow, or the exit polls were fixed somehow. We have absolutely no evidence that any exit polls were fixed, let alone by any Democrats. On the other hand, given what we know about what happened in 1996 Nebraska and 2002 Georgia, and in 2004, all over the country on Election Day, the reports we had of malfunctioning machines registering votes for Bush when the people intended to vote for Kerry, not to mention a plethora of other problems, there's plenty of evidence that the vote count was fixed. I think you know what I'm going to ask. Could it have been the Republican-manufactured machines with the secret software? Pillar number four. In January of 2005, Representative Rush Holt introduced a bill in Congress. It requires that all electronic voting machines produce an auditable paper trail. That way, if there are allegations of fraud, there's something to count in a recount. Otherwise, there's nothing to recount. It's just the numbers coming out of the machine. Who could possibly be against such a measure? How could anyone with an interest in free and fair elections oppose this bill? Good questions, because the Republicans oppose it. Representative Bob Ney of Ohio, of all places. Representative Bob Ney is the chairman of the appropriate committee, and he won't let it get out of committee. He won't let the full Congress consider this bill. Why, if the Republicans have nothing to hide, why are they bottling up this bill? Okay, there you have the four pillars. Now, do we have a pillar number five? The information I'm going to present now is from an article entitled, Has American Democracy Died an Electronic Death in Ohio 2005's Referenda Results? It's by Bob Fitrakis and Harvey Wasserman. Those of you who have been following this entire electronic vote fraud issue since the 2004 election or even since before that are familiar with these two gentlemen. They're intimately involved in the struggle to secure free and fair elections in the United States. They just wrote a book called How the GOP Stole America's 2004 Election and is Rigging 2008. You can get it at freepress.org, freepress.org. Okay, I'm going to read a little bit from the article and paraphrase the rest. It's long, so I'll summarize it. In the recent 2005 elections, there were several referenda on the ballot in Ohio. The Columbus Dispatch newspaper conducted polls right before the election. The Dispatch polling operation is considered to be the state's gold standard. On referendum item number one, the Columbus Dispatch poll showed it passing with 53% of the vote, and official tallies indeed showed it passed with 54% of the vote. So this confirms that the Dispatch's polling operation in the 2005 election seemed to be doing as well as it usually did. But the remaining referenda items are a different story. As I go over them, you might want to keep in the back of your mind that in this 2005 election, 41 Ohio counties instituted the use of electronic touchscreen voting machines from Diebold. Diebold, of course, is the heavily Republican-connected company run by Wally O'Dell, who famously promised to deliver Ohio to George Bush in the 2004 presidential election. Okay, what happened with these other referenda? Quoting now from the article, Issue 2 was designed to make it easier for Ohioans to vote early by mail or in person. The November 6 Dispatch poll showed Issue 2 passing by a vote of 59-33%. But on November 8th, the official vote count showed Issue 2 going down to defeat by the astonishing margin of 63.5% against with just 36.5% in favor. To say the outcome is a virtual statistical impossibility is to understate the case. The numbers on Issue 3 are even less likely. Issue 3 involved campaign finance reform. The Sunday Dispatch poll showed it winning in a landslide, with 61% in favor and just 25% opposed. Tuesday's official results showed Issue 3 going down to defeat in perhaps the most astonishing reversal in Ohio history, claiming just 33% of the vote with 67% opposed. The reversals on both Issues 2 and 3 were statistically staggering, to say the least. End quote. I'll now skip to where the article discusses Issue 5. Quote, Issue 5 meant to take administration of Ohio's elections away from the Secretary of State, giving control to a 9-member nonpartisan commission. Issue 5 was prompted by Secretary of State J. Kenneth Blackwell's administration of the 2004 presidential vote, particularly in light of his role as co-chair of Ohio's Bush-Cheney campaign. The Dispatch poll showed a virtual toss-up at 41% yes, 43% no, and 16% undecided. The official result gave Issue 5 just 30% of the vote, with allegedly 70% opposed. Close quote. So there you have Pillar 5. Ohio starts using on a widespread basis these Republican-built secret software electronic voting machines. There are issues on the ballot that Republicans have a strong interest in defeating. Pre-election polls by the gold standard pollster, the Columbus Dispatch, show these measures passing, often by wide margins. Yet, on election day, mysteriously, the results reported show them being defeated, often by just as wide margins. How does this flipping of results happen? Could it be the Republican-built secret software voting machines? This bodes ill, very ill, for the 2006 and 2008 elections. Fetrakis and Wasserman closed their article very powerfully. Quote, sadly, this impossible inconsistency between Ohio's most prestigious polling operation and these final official referendum vote counts has drawn virtually no public scrutiny. Though there were glitches, this year's voting lacked the massive irregularities and open manipulations that poisoned Ohio 2004. The only major difference would appear to be the new installation of touchscreen machines in those additional 41 counties. And thus the possible explanations for the staggering defeats of issues 2 through 5 boil down to two. Either the Dispatch polling, dead accurate for issue 1, was wildly wrong beyond all possible statistical margin of error for issues 2 to 5, or the electronic machines on which Ohio and much of the nation conduct their elections were hacked by someone wanting to change the vote count. If the latter is true, it can and will be done again, and we can forget forever about the state that has been essential to the election of every Republican presidential candidate since Lincoln. And we can also, for all intents and purposes, forget about the future of American democracy. End quote. Scary stuff.
The kind of catapult of propaganda. In my line of work, you got to keep repeating things over and over and over again. The kind of catapult of propaganda. Catapult of propaganda.
Speaking of propaganda, did you know that the Iraq War is the fault of Jacques Chirac of France? Yes, in the bizarro world of Bill O'Reilly, that's the case.
Just remember this. If Jacques Chirac had stepped up and looked Saddam in the eye and said, either let those UN inspectors do their job unfettered or I'm going with the USA and Britain, Saddam would have blinked. Wouldn't have been an Iraq war. This Iraq war is on Chirac. It's on right on his head. That's where it is.
That's where it is? Is O'Reilly just misspeaking and he didn't really know what he was saying? No, he meant what he was saying, because that was from his radio program, clip thanks to MediaMatters.org. And then the next day, he repeated it on his television program in defending himself against a letter writer. This is a tape I made.
Mark Koning, Los Angeles. Bill, blaming France for the Iraq war is bogus. It is clear Bush rushed into the war and fabricated intelligence. Clear to whom, Mr. Koning? The Bush haters? Do some research. Captured Iraqi documents confirm Saddam believed France and Russia would save him from war. If France had backed the USA and Britain, Saddam would have allowed the weapons inspectors full access and there would not have been a war.
So O'Reilly seems to be saying that because of Chirac, the inspectors didn't have full access, they weren't able to do their job unfettered, and therefore we had to go to war. This isn't the worst lie I've heard in the recent Republican onslaught against the truth. I actually heard a congressman, and I didn't tape this, I heard a congressman on, I think it was Hannity and Combs, say that the reason we had to invade Iraq is because Saddam kicked out the inspectors. Of course, that's completely wrong. We ordered them out because we were going to start bombing. As to what O'Reilly said, when I heard him, my immediate reaction was, wait a second. The inspectors did have unfettered access. They were going everywhere. They were going in the palaces. There was no place that they weren't being allowed to go. Probably this was your reaction as well when you just heard him. Just to be sure, I took O'Reilly's advice and did some research, like he told his letter writer to do. What I found totally backed up my recollection. The following is from a report by the Congressional Research Service as updated October 7, 2003. The Congressional Research Service is part of the Library of Congress, and, as its website indicates, it's where members of Congress turn for nonpartisan research analysis and information. What did they say? They said, quote, for the approximately 3 months of inspections, inspectors reported that Iraq was cooperating on access with a few minor delays, close quote. Cooperating on access with a few minor delays. Here's something that Time magazine columnist Tony Caron wrote in July 2003. Quote, the IAEA inspectors had concluded in March 2003 on the basis of unfettered inspections that there was no evidence that Iraq had restarted its nuclear program. Close quote. Unfettered inspections by the nuclear inspectors. So what on earth is O'Reilly talking about? He just makes stuff up out of thin air. There was a funny comment about this on the MediaMatters.org bulletin board. It was made by someone signing their name Rufus T. Firefly. What he wrote was, quote, Billy's obsession with Franco bashing is getting out of control. Was he abused by someone who resembled Maurice Chevalier when he was younger? Did he choke on a falafel after drinking too much French wine? Did he have a subordinate who refused to French kiss? Was he mauled by a French poodle? What's going on here? He should quit fooling around and just change the name of his show to the I Hate the French Factor. End quote. O'Reilly often brags that he has one of the most competent, accurate research staffs backing him up on the program. After O'Reilly made his ridiculous charge on the first night, how could they have let him say it on the second night? Or maybe they did point out his error to him and O'Reilly just doesn't care. After all, as a master propagandist, O'Reilly is well versed in the big lie technique. He knows that even if what he said is completely untrue, if he says it often enough, people will begin to believe it. And that's all he wants to happen. He just wants to mislead the public in a way that serves the interest of those for whom O'Reilly so dutifully toils. Okay, that'll about wrap it up for today. I want to apologize to all the listeners who left me messages on Skype. I thought I wasn't getting any messages because the program kept telling me no new events, as it put it. Then I happened to sign out and sign in for the first time in a long time. Usually it just opens automatically. And when I did that, all of a sudden, 14 new messages appeared. And then when I went to listen to them, the program won't play them. I have a support request into Skype. And hopefully that situation will be resolved shortly. Another sort of housekeeping note. I've been asked if I can place links to the articles and other resources I mention on the podcast. That's a very good idea. I thought about that and I've been lazy. I will do it. I'll place this information on a page called Data Resources, and there will be a link to that page near the top of my podcast homepage. I love getting email from all of you, so please feel free to write in. Tell me what you like, what you don't like, make suggestions, and also tell me where you found out about the podcast. My email address is rational@adelphia.net. If you enjoyed listening to Blast the Right, please tell your friends about it. If they don't know about podcasting, turn them on to that as well. Now, as promised earlier, music credits. The podcast opened with a bit of You Razzle Dazzled 'Em by Bill Jacobs. He's at www.billjacobs.us. Between segments, we heard Catapult the Propaganda by Nise Music, nisemusic.com. I'll close the podcast after I sign off with a little bit of Taking My Country Back by Honky Tonkers for Truth. Hint, are you listening with headphones? If you are, you'll be able to hear more clearly some delicious guitar licks and other instrumentals. So, until next time, I'll sign off and say I love you all, including all you right-wing pieces of crap.
We had a bundle in the treasury drawer, more than there had ever been before. But every day we're drowning deeper in debt. Maybe 4 years should be all you get. Then you gave tax breaks to the millionaires, and you tried to make the working man pay. But you can't tax a man when his job's not there. Now look at where we are today. Hey, I'm taking my country back. Son, you ain't